Welcome to episode
27
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Tuesday,
the
8th
of
July,
2014. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Hello and welcome to episode 27 of WoW Geekly. I'm Asheo, and with me, as always, other side of the warm pond, my good mate, Jeppy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Is it warm?
I'm hoping it's on your side of the pond it's warm. On this side of the pond, no, damn. It's chilly-ass Tuesday.
It's pretty chilly here as well. I don't think we're supposed to get summer when you get winter, but I just think we get another winter. I don't think it works out quite well. Nobody heard it, but I like the idea of calling it well, gumfly.
Well, gumonthly. Yeah.
Gumonthly.
Yeah.
Or soon it'll be well, yearly.
And then people will just think we're talking about gear.
Oh, yeah, yearly. Well, yearly.
Yearly. I'm well geared.
That'd be cool.
There has been a slight hiatus.
Yeah, we're cool kids. We don't mention when we're going on hiatus. We just do it.
We just do it.
Just go.
If not there, then bad luck. You'll just have to wait.
Like there's not another 1,000 or so podcasts you can listen to.
It's taken us ages to summarise all the other podcasts so that we've got some content. We'll just talk about what they talk about. So it'll all be
nightmare.
A month old. Yeah. You're not going to hear anything new here.
But it'll be a different accent. Mildly.
Well, probably. I don't know that there are any other WoW podcasts that's got an Aussie and a Pommy.
No, there are not.
There you go.
I think we actually took the IP on that.
Yeah. Then they break the mould. Thank God.
Thank goodness. Mm. Hideous mould it was.
But anyway, 27, mate.
Episode 27.
What do you know about 27?
I know that it has the numbers 2 and 7 in it.
That's very good. And did you know that 2 and 7, 27, it's the first non-prime to not be evenly divisible by any of its digits, that 2 and that 7 that you mentioned there?
It's the first
non-prime
not to be divisible by 2 and 7.
Not to be divisible by any of its digits. So take, for example, last episode, which was weeks and weeks ago, 26. Well, 26 is actually divisible by 2, which is one of the digits in its number, if you take the meaning.
So, I understand. So you can't divide it by 2 and you can't divide it by 7.
That's right. So it's one of those funky numbers that looks like it should be a prime, but it's not actually a prime. Because
what is it going to be divided by? 3?
3. 9. Yeah. In fact, it's a perfect cube. 3 by 3 by 3. 27.
So you look at 27 and you think, it's not a special number. And then all of a sudden, bang.
Things that you know about 27 all of a sudden. It's also very, very rare element because it's the atomic number of cobalt. And if you've leveled a blacksmith or an engineer lately, you'll know that you'd be paying out of your ass for cobalt and farming it. One of the more difficult things to farm.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put cobalt on the auction house for 27 gold.
There you go.
Just for laughs, and somebody go.
and someone will email you. That's hilarious. Did you know it's the atomic number of cobalt? Oh God, you're a geek.
But sadly, that'll be you.
So
it won't be as impressive.
No.
With this, what I don't understand. Okay, see, when you start talking about your stuff, I jump over to the Wikipedia page just to see if there's anything that I could catch you out on. Mm-hmm. And down the bottom in the mathematics section, it says, there are 27 sporadic groups if the tits group is included. What the hell?
Okay.
In mathematics, the tits group.
The tits
what?
group. I'm going to have to go and look that up. I'm going to make a post-it note and go and look up what the hell the tits group is.
Sadly enough, I thought it was going to be something really special, and TITS was going to spell out something monumentally cool. But actually, it was just found by Jacques Tits in 1964. Dude, honestly.
Imagine marrying somebody called Mr. Tits.
The scary thing about that is, I guess he was French because of the Jacques, but still.
Yeah.
Still, 1964, you were aware that that was a word in other countries.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
I'd have thought that he would have certainly changed his name. Oh, well.
Good for a laugh, though. Good for a laugh.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes you just want to pay for the laugh.
So you looked up tits. Did you look up sporadic group? What the hell's that?
I don't know. No, I didn't bother with sporadic group.
Sporadic group doesn't sound like tits, so...
No, in group theory, a discipline within mathematics, a sporadic group is one of the 26 exceptional groups found in the classification of finite simple groups. Oh, well, there you go. Oh,
of course.
God, I don't know why you even bother looking it up. I've got to work that out.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a second. I just keep finding the word. The monster group is the largest of the sporadic groups. No, hang on. I'm sure I just saw the word even when the tits are down. No, I must have made that up. Anyway, that's horrible. That's a horrible use of numbers, sorry.
Enough tit talk. Boobies. What about some news? Bit.
Yeah.
There has been some
4 weeks worth.
4 weeks worth. We won't cover it all. That will take 4 weeks.
It seems to have actually built up in the last few weeks, so.
I would hope we're getting to a point where the news is overflowing and... imminent things are happening.
It does. It is more fits and starts, I found. It's like it's a flurry of news. And what I've also found, and we'll talk about it in a minute a bit more when we talk about the individual bits and pieces of news, is a lot of the time it's not Blizzard telling us, it's somebody finding it.
I was just about to say that. I was going to say, like, the first thing on the list, you know, to chat about, I'm thinking, this is something that I reckon should have been a huge bullet point at BlizzCon. Instead, some dude goes on the forums and says, oh, it looks like the auction houses are cross-faction and, you know, get a blue repost. Yes, in 6.0, the auction houses will be cross-faction. I'm like, that is huge news. And you find out about it because some dude posted it on the forums. It's just bizarre to me. Bizarre.
And I don't know why they would hold that back. I mean, you kind of think that it's planned that this is the sort of news that they would give out at a later date, and they didn't expect anybody in the testing group to go in and try and post things from both sides of a different faction.
Well, of course people are going to find stuff out like that.
They are going to find out, but somebody over at Blizzard thought to themselves, well, we don't necessarily need to announce it just yet. But that's what I'm assuming. But what I'm actually believing is they just forgot.
Yeah.
They didn't, that the development team develop something which they don't tell the PR team to PR.
Yeah. And the PR teams are sitting there with a big huge head slap.
We've got no news to say. Meanwhile, the development team are developing all sorts of newsworthy stories. It is huge. What were your first impressions of that hitting?
Well, my first thought was, that's going to make it an adrenaline rush to sneak stuff across factions now. Because you used to be able to go off to an empty neutral auction house in Booty Bay or Winter Spring and sneakily stuff in and grab it off the other side. You post it up for a silver for a stack of arcane dust and whip it off the other side.
Yes, it's going to make it nightmarish because there's constantly people running these filters which will pull out anything that seriously looks like it's a good bargain.
Buy.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a very, and especially for high pop servers with all these join servers.
Yeah.
Your stuff's going to disappear real quick. So, I kind of hoping that, I don't really expect that they will, but I mean, they're doing that to balance the economy. For lopsidedness. Well, then why not give us some way for us to move stuff that we've got on a hoard to our alliance to and vice versa?
I don't know. And there was part of me to think this is the first step toward that.
Mm.
That there was going to be a, because one of the problems with doing the auction, the neutral auction house thing, is that you get stung for 15%.
Yeah.
And the reason they did that is very obvious, because they knew that it was the pathway for you transferring gold from one side to the other. And they are penalizing you for that. There's no other reason to charge you extra.
Hmm.
Because
I don't have a problem with that.
No. But
I mean, I'd pay more than that if they just gave some official way of, okay, here's how you get stuff between it without having to worry about being snapped up by someone, you know, running an ad to just buy cheap auctions.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking is the whole process changes now, because there's no reason to do what you were saying, to do sell something for a silver. Because what you would do is you'd sell it for a silver, you'd grab it off, it'd be worth a lot more money, and you'd put it onto your own auction house to make that money back. Or alternatively, you just wanted that piece of gear. But if there's no 15% tag, and that's the reason you didn't want to do a huge price, because you got, it was 15%, it was a percentage. So it was 1,000 gold. You're going to bang it off at, what was that? I don't know, 150? 150 gold. So you didn't want to do that. But if you want to transfer gold now between the two, it's incredibly simple, because you sell something for a lot higher.
Yep.
Nobody's going to buy it because it's ridiculously priced.
Yeah. So it's good for if you want to move gold, but if you want to move mats.
Yeah, but
I guess it's okay. I mean, if you were like, okay, well, there was a whole bunch of, you know, cheap arcane dust on the Alliance auction house, so I bought that and I'm going to transfer it over. I mean, yeah, fair enough. Okay, I can just buy it now on the hoard. That's fine. But if it's sitting in an alts bank that I farmed over on the Alliance side and I want to move it over, you know, that's a different economy. But I guess, you know, well, I could just, you know, stick it up on the auction house and buy it. I hope they take away the can't buy your own auctions.
They won't. They don't.
They don't.
At least not in beta. No, you can't do that. And, of course, that would stymie the vast majority of people who are foolishly just running one account.
Silly people. What are you silly people that do with one account?
I don't know. It's just foolish. But, you know, you can't do that. So there is that natural gap anyway. That's not to say, I mean, people have been doing it anyway regardless, just saying it to a guildie.
Get a guildie help.
Buy
out.
This. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a huge hurdle to leap by any stretch of the imagination. But I think we're looking at it in isolation, merging of the auction house. I think you're quite right. Definitely it's necessary on a lot of servers where there's a huge misbalance between Horde and Alliance, or Alliance and Horde.
Yeah.
And there's just no way. I was looking at this the other day, and I'll talk about why later, but I was looking at the different whale pops and the amount of Horde on one side, the amount of Alliance on the other side. And so you look at some of the numbers, like 180,000 Horde, 24,000 Alliance. There's no way that 24,000 are doing any serious playing.
Mm-hmm.
On a PvP server, this is, by the way, as well.
Yeah.
So there's just no way that they're doing that, because, and I would imagine their characters that were created, either they were created in the foolish assumption that they could make a difference to the Alliance side, and then after being insta-killed everywhere they went, they decided against it, and those characters are now dead, redundant characters. Or they created it to somehow manipulate the auction house or whatever. But the market would be so incredibly small for that 24,000.
Oh, yeah.
That I can see no advantage. The only simple advantage would be pets and recipes, but that's no market really. Mm. And if everybody's doing that, then so.
They seem to really have slowed down on the merging of servers.
Yeah,
and the whole point of all that was to balance them all out.
This is what I don't understand as well. I can see that if you're on a server where the actual total population is very low, then it doesn't matter what side you're on, it's going to be crap. The auction house is going to be very bad. The economy is going to be very bad.
Yep.
Your ability to run current content is going to be pretty bad, although CrossRealm obviously does resolve that quite a bit. But also the balances between the Horde and the Alliance side. But I've been looking at some of the CrossRealm merging, and they're still maintaining very bad balances.
Oh. That's weird.
They haven't. Yeah, I thought to myself, well, surely those when they merge them, they must take an Alliance heavy one and merge with a Horde heavy one, and then they're both low pop overall. But when they come together, not only do they have a higher pop, but they also have a better balance.
That's what
they're not doing that.
Oh.
I'm seeing loads of 75 to 25s, and it's weird because what they've done now is if you look at if you go to WowPop.com, they obviously showing the same population split across three or four servers that are merged together. But so you can quickly see where how the merge has changed things.
Right.
But you can still see the imbalance. It's so odd.
Wow.
That's not to say that there are very few perfect balanced servers, incredibly few of them, and that's fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, I just can't see it happening naturally.
Well, this is weird because I looked at the only PvP server that has anywhere close to parity, and actually it's almost dead on, you know, 0.00 parity, is Emerald Dream, which is a PvP server. And it has 75,000-ish on both sides.
Hmm.
It's an RP PvP, and I'm sure that was natural, organic growth. I can't see how you could manipulate that. But it is really the only one. And then the others are just sliding completely to the other side.
Right.
It's so odd. But, going back to the auction house, I think, like I say, we're looking at this in isolation, but what we're not taking into account is the massive change in professions that seem to be coming, particularly via the garrison process.
Yes, that's going to play into it as well.
And the idea before where you would say, well, the only reason I would transfer mats from Horde to Alliance on the same server is if I had a profession on one side that I didn't have on the other. Even more so now with the mixed with the merged auction house, because it doesn't matter. It's not like particular enchant will sell better on the Horde side or the Lion side. It will be the same merged auction house. It doesn't matter. So, and if by using garrisons, I'm able to tick off more professions than I would have done without going out on a limb and creating loads of characters and leveling them all, you know, like the whole nightmare scenario that we have had to go through, then it doesn't matter because I can have the same benefits of an enchanter on both sides.
Mm.
And therefore the movement of mats between one and the other is not a necessity anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something I do often, but you know, when you do want to do it, it's nice to know that you can do it without someone snapping up your option.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it a lot. And I definitely got into the old pets and recipes stuff, moving those across early on. That was, you know, it was quite lucrative for a while until battle pets came along.
Yep.
And I've done what you just said, where now all of a sudden there's just not that particular element is not on your auction house, and you need it on your side in order to create the next level of profession. And it's on the Horde auction house, so I've gone through the rigmarole of chopping stuff over back and forth. But even with the neutral auction house, I used to be shit scared that some bug was going to snipe it. The amount of the speed of trying to get the sell up and the buy, and especially with the really high price pets, your lanterns and that type of thing.
Yeah.
That were high priced anyway, naturally high priced. But you still want to sell them for silver because you don't want to get stung with a 15%.
Exactly.
So all that will go. The Elwyn lamb. I lost an Elwyn lamb once.
Yeah, well, I mean, none of the pets matter now because you can just.
No, it doesn't matter now.
It's all caged on the other side.
Exactly. So I think that when people talk about the auction house merging, I think so many things have iterated towards that happening.
Yeah.
That have made the necessity to have separate auction houses at all unnecessary. And I think even more so coming into Warlords, the necessity, I think they made the change because the necessity is not there for the future, I suppose. Now, what it will do, of course, is that, I mean, for people who are making gold, to suddenly go from having a market of 25,000 to having a market of 200,000, that's going to be a huge difference. And I imagine, and we've said this before, that those early days of live are going to be so chaotic.
Yeah.
Not only are we going to have new mats and all the other expansion flood of auction house potentiality, you're going to have a merged auction house as well. So. It's going to be pretty mad. People who are going to be focusing on leveling may miss out on the potential to make money, make gold.
Mm. Yeah, because it is it's a fairly small window. And it'd be interesting now that all the realm firsts and everything are gone. I mean, people aren't going to be paying ridiculous amounts for mats to quickly level professions.
No, that's true. Although there is that desire to try and be the first so that you can start selling the made
there
goods.
Is that. Yep. Yeah, so there'll still be some amount of it going on. But certainly, I mean, overall, I'm more than happy with the change. I think it's a great idea. Bring it on.
Yeah. I didn't see much grumbling, to be honest. I think most people accepted it was a change that was coming. What it did do is made lots of people think about other things they may try to... I mean, in all honesty, and this sounds, and this may not be something they'll ever do, but in all honesty, the gold you earn as an Alliance player, should it not be available to you, your whole player? It's still you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the heirlooms...
Bring the person, not the gold.
Exactly. But it would be cool. I mean, I don't know if they'd ever do that. I know they do it in certain games. But we're not... And this is something as well. We seem to be going into an era, although they are, there's a lot of focus on PvP, but we seem to be going into an era where, again, the factions are coming together to fight an external force. So, I don't know. It's just thinking about it philosophically and lore-wise, they're coming together a lot more to fight the Iron Horde.
Yeah.
It's not like the Horde are siding with the Iron Horde and we're siding with some other group of, new pandas or whatever.
It's ninja not that pandas. Same.
Yeah, so I don't know. I can see why they wouldn't do it. Because of obviously there's lots of problems with gold selling and moving gold around. And particularly if they opened it cross-realm. I mean, one of the things that stops gold selling to a certain degree is that you can make a lot of money on a high pop realm, but people want to buy on a low pop realm.
Yeah.
And so to move it from one to the other is a pain and a cost now, currently. So I don't know. They may never do that, but it does start to open up those potentials. So is it fascinating times for anybody who wants to study how economies change?
Even if they just moved it towards, a player on a realm rather than, all cross realms. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, just pure, forget about bind on this, bind on that. If you've earned it here, you can have it anywhere.
Yep.
That philosophy. They don't, there seems to be little inkling of that currently in the beta, but
so you never know. Of moving gold around, they made another discovery from the forums.
Ooh.
About the guild leveling and the cash flow perk.
Yeah. Hmm. What's all that about? What's going on there then? That was another discovery as well, by the way. Yeah. Nobody announced that until they were caught out. Until somebody went on. The first time I saw it was Seraphus from the Sundering. He'd gone on and he'd created a guild, which for me is not the natural thing I would do as a beta tester.
Oh, it's one of the first things I think about. Never actually get around to doing it.
He did it. I mean, he called out for people and said, can you come and sign the charter and do all the other things?
Come and sign the charter. Let all your gold flow into my coffers.
Uh-oh. What? No gold? No coffers?
No level.
So what's actually happening now? As I understand it, basically you create guilds 25.
Essentially. I mean, you get a bunch of the perks that a level 25 guild has are now baked in. So you get all those perks like, instant mail and the mass res and the fast flight paths. Okay. So you've still got all those, even though you're not actually leveling a guild. But they did remove some. And I think this is the whole point of them removing the leveling was the infamous cash flow perk, which they claim is the sole reason that you can't log into a new alt without being invited to a guild in about 3.2 nanoseconds. I can understand that. it is annoying, and I'm sure it was exploited. You know, people just inviting people so that some percentage of all their earnings go into the guild bank, and the guild leader just goes, "Thanks very much," and they've got a nice income there for doing nothing besides spamming people for guild invites.
Yeah, and it was definitely a known way of making gold. Mm. Lots of people would recommend that as a way to do it. Set up your guild, get your piece of add-on software that will constantly invite people. But they were also saying that I didn't see that as an exploit really. I mean, that's not really an exploit. But what they were saying was that the mass invitation of people was also getting to the point where the guild wasn't 25 when you were invited. When it did get to 25, everybody got kicked and they sold the guild.
Yeah. That's a bit rude.
So that's a bit rough because also anything you've gone and stuck in the bank goes to the guild master.
Yep.
But it just didn't seem such a huge problem. Cash flow, I know cash flow if you've got your 4,000 people and they're all properly leveling, especially through the higher areas.
There's a 1,000 limit to the guilds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like you're going to, you know, get 20,000 people in a guild and rip them all off. And people, you know, you're not going to get a huge guild that way of random people and have it successful. People are going to chop and change and move around. So, yeah, I can't see it as being a, yeah, sure, you might have earned a bit of extra gold, but, you know, I can't see it as being a huge money earner.
No. But the problem is what they've done is they've cut off the nose to spite the face because there are proper guilds who are properly formed together and have proper goals and, you know, who, although not a massive money flow, do depend upon that in order to keep their repairs going.
Guild repairs and things like that. So they promise us that they will add legitimate ways to accomplish that. Mm. And they point out that, you know, like raiding guilds, yeah, probably the cash flow perk, you know, wasn't where all their gold was coming from anyway. So,
no.
Yeah, you know, I suppose they've got stats and stuff to back it up. And if they give us some other way to kind of keep funding legitimate guilds, then, yeah, great.
Yeah, there was some talk of them giving more drops that were bind on equip that could be sold.
Okay.
And high level bind on equip.
How does that help the guild, though?
Well, because I don't know, because the dude that gets it will sell it and not stick it in a guild bank. But
So a new type of item, bind on guild.
Bind on guild, maybe.
Yeah, so if you sell it, the proceeds go into the guild bank.
Yeah, but they do need to bridge that gap. And sometimes I think they do half the job and then they forget the other half.
Mm.
They say, oh, well, we'll take away the cash flow. And we'll definitely do something to give you the money. And they forget about giving you the money.
So now we're going to go back to the problem, you know, where they took away all the chests in all the dungeons because people were just farming the dungeons to get the bond and equips to sell them. So now they're going to turn around and, you know, lower that, the number of times you can run a dungeon in an hour and remove them again. And it's just swings and roundabouts. We're just going round circles.
It's that constant balancing, isn't it? Because, like any complex system, it's like a nasty, vicious game of Jenga. You can't pull one thing out without affecting others. It's not, you know, nothing's compartmentalized. It's all linked. It's all connected.
Yeah.
You know, the whole flow. I mean, because they're trying to emulate real life. You know, they're trying to emulate a real economy.
It's an ecosystem.
There you go. That's a perfect word. The ecosystem of WoW is not, you can't just take a chunk out without affecting so many others. And sometimes I think they do. They, you know, they don't, there's no one, I'm sure there is. I can't imagine there's not. There's no one who just sits above it all. Or maybe it was Rob Pardo.
There you go.
And they think, well, he keeps getting involved. He keeps saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. Let's get rid of him. Because, you know, he's stifling people. He keeps saying, if you do this, it's going to affect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But, oh, he went as well. 17 years, boom, gone. Yeah. You know, there are actually people on the Twitters saying, I wonder if it's because he was rude about women. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking not.
It's a conspiracy. There's somebody in Blizzard that doesn't want Warlords to come out at all. So they made Ghostcrawler leave, and they made Pardo leave, and they made that artist guy cut his finger. Never going to get him.
The art class guy. The weird thing about that is that I look at, because Greg, Ghostcrawler, he's not contractually not allowed to use Ghostcrawler anymore. But Greg,
he's
still around on Twitter. The G, yeah. And the amount of people that will say to him, "Well, if Greg was here, if Ghostcrawler was still doing this, would never have happened." Ghostcrawler, and the amount of times that he has to come and say, "Listen, it would have happened. I would have had nothing to do with that part of the game."
Frustrate the crap out of him.
Of course, they got rid of him because they wanted to go a direction. Do you know what popped up to this week as well? We haven't got it on the show notes, but I suddenly thought about it. An online store, I think it's Egg or something. I don't know. New Egg.
Yeah.
Put out a page on their website giving a credit, an Xbox credit for World of Warcraft. And so
it's been ported to the console.
That's why it's taking so long. They're going to port it to the Xbox One.
Of course.
And although there's been some denial, and see, the scary thing about this is Blizzard's just come out and go, no. Somebody big at Blizzard's just come out, bang, no, this is not happening.
Right.
We have no desire to move it to the Xbox. But they don't.
Right. And instead,
there's a little bit of fluffy and a bit of this.
They put out a thing on their job site saying, looking for someone to lead up our console team for a new exciting project.
Oh,
way to fan the flames, dude.
I know. See, the scary thing, of course, about that is that you say, well, then of course they're doing the Xbox thing. Because why wouldn't you just come out and just say, no, the position we've got on the thing is for Diablo. Let's not, you know, or Hearthstone, maybe, I don't know.
Publicity. It is
publicity, but it also just seems to enrage masses of their player base.
Could you imagine playing WoW on a console with a controller? Just a mage.
But what I can't imagine.
Well, for the Xbox One, play a mage.
What I can imagine is. Free mage with every box. What I can imagine is some sort of PvP type internal game. I can imagine taking the characters and giving them a PvP type game.
Yeah. I'll play pet battles on my Xbox.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's all sorts of things you could reduce down. As an MMO on a console, MMOs and consoles have never fared well. And if they have fared well, they've been awful. You know, they've been awful games to start with. Very rarely has it ever worked. In fact, a lot of times where they've said they're going to do a console version of MMO, they've backed away and not done it.
I couldn't name one successful one. I can't think of any.
There was a Final Fantasy, I think, that did some sort of work, but not much. But it's never been successful because the necessity of communication within an MMO is so vast that a controller just can't do it. It's just not feasible to.
But you know, dude, balance WoW's controls. Got in-game chat.
Oh god! But I can see them branching out. I mean, they must have said to themselves, "Well, we've the success of say Hearthstone on the iPad. By the way, when is that coming on Android? Hello, Android. Anyway."
Nah.
The success of Hearthstone, the success of, or at least the perceived success of Heroes of the Storm as a free-to-play game. The amount of channels that they can now sort of dive into. And apart from Diablo, I think Diablo is the only console. And Diablo is perfect for console because it's like four buttons.
Yeah.
But you can certainly see them looking at their mother load MMO and thinking, I wonder how we can use that in the console.
Squeeze that in. Yeah.
Because the numbers, the sheer numbers, of console game sales as opposed to PC game sales, it must just look like a gorgeous drop of cash just laying there thinking, you know. Because if you look at something like Eve, for instance, Eve, no way you could play Eve itself on a console. But what they said to themselves is, okay, well, we can't play Eve, but what we can do is we can slap something in the Eve universe that does have an effect. And they create a game called Dust 514, I think.
Okay.
Which is in the same universe and actually has an effect on the world, but it's much more limited. It's more it's pure fighting and, you know, taking over planets and that type of thing. But the planets that you see that are taken over are then present in your MMO.
Mm.
So you can see them kind of, you know, you think of something like that.
Dabbling on the edges. You can see that.
Yeah. They have to think about it. As a company, they would be crazy not to look at that market and try and get some sort of exploitation going. You know, you'd want them to. As somebody who supports Blizzard as a company, they would be foolish not to be looking at every avenue going from the, as I said, from the, Hearthstone on your tablets to all your other bits and pieces. So.
For sure.
Well, what the killer that will upset, I mean, what enrages the plebeians or the forums and is what time is being wasted on looking at this when you still have an unreleased expansion and a BlizzCon on the horizon and nothing's going forward and says all that.
Yeah, because the dude that's doing development for the PC is going to be the same dude developing on the Xbox. Yeah,
right. It doesn't matter how many times, and if you go through the forum post, the amount of times that is brought up by other less vitriolic forum posters, it doesn't matter. They don't care. They couldn't care less. All they see is that some sort of work is going towards something else that isn't what they want. It's just not happening. And the fact they're not in the beta it makes me angry. It's a good reason you're not in the beta, mate. You go off at the slightest light and lit fuse.
The beta, mate. The beta.
Yeah.
Mine still says alpha, but I guess it's beta.
It changed overnight. They just said it's beta now. Nothing really changed. Actually, it was a little bit more buggy. Kept crashing.
Couple more builds since then, though, so that's all right.
Yeah.
Downloaded them all. Haven't played any of them.
They seem to have stabilized it quite a bit. There was certainly a nasty period between the alpha and the beta where it just wasn't staying up for more than a few minutes.
Yeah.
But like you say, there's been a few more builds and the stabilization certainly seems, I've managed to stay in for an hour or so and left on my own accord, not.
Oh, there you go. You know.
So it's obviously a lot better.
How enjoyable.
You've not had much chance yourself?
No. I have that issue of, you know, wanting to be in the beta and experiencing it, but not at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
the balancing act for a lot of people is, I want to be in the beta because it's cool and I'd like to see new stuff, but I also don't want to spoil it for when I go live.
Yeah.
And it's all that stuff as well.
Well, I want to see the UI changes and the engine changes and the way stuff works. But I don't want to see, you know, the storyline and spoilers and stuff like that. Or play through a zone three times and then get burnt out on it before it's even come out.
Yeah, and it's hard to do one in isolation, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's hard to.
It is.
You can go and find some dummies and just bang away on those for a while.
You poke around and you kill stuff and you look in your thing and you test stuff out, but it's without experiencing the whole lot, it is fairly limited.
So I did last time we were doing this podcast, it was that very night that the alpha hit, and so I had a little play around then, and that was fine. You know, there was nothing. It actually worked. It was incredibly smooth. I found it incredibly smooth. Mm-hmm. There was Frostfire Ridge on the Horde side, and there were noticeable some early on changes. They have this weird sort of glow round NPCs and stuff.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
At first I thought, oh, it's horrible. But actually, once you get used to it, it's very good.
Mm.
It's very useful as well because you can just move your mouse around and then go, there's the dude.
There he is.
Ignore all these other dudes. don't know what they're standing around for. If you're not here to give me a quest or give me gold, go away.
Bagger off, sunshine.
I know it adds to the atmosphere, but blimey. And now they've recently changed it so that you can now play the Alliance side. And they're showing, actually, I think you can play the Horde as well, but they're doing it from the very start. So you're basically going through the dark portal. Actually, it's not so dark anymore. It's like a light portal. Mm.
Unless it's nighttime. Now, the only thing,
unless it's nighttime, yeah. Mm. Actually, you can't see the portal. It's quite weird because you kind of just, you're just through it already. You know, I don't, yeah. The only thing I found is that I'm getting to believe that I'm going to need a new graphics card.
Ah, yes.
Or a new machine because, geez, it was jumpy as. Now, I'm also got the same problem that you have to a certain degree is that I'm coming into America as opposed to my natural servers, which would be in Europe.
Yep.
Although you have a worse one because you don't have any. But, so there's that anyway. There's already a built-in lag. But the amount of activity keeps going on. And this is currently, as far as I can tell, the times I've been on, it's been NPC activity. There hasn't been a ton of other players because of the timing that I'm playing. It's monumental early on. This is like the first few minutes of what the expansion will be, I imagine. So yeah. I don't know. I mean,
so you got a really low frame rate? Or is it just all tall jerky?
No, in the tens.
Gosh.
Whereas in normal way, I'm getting, you know, I'm happily on a 30 without problem.
Yeah.
And then to get the tens, I had to turn it down. So whether that's because maybe they haven't tuned it up enough or, and this does happen.
Yeah, it could be a lot of debug code in there and stuff.
Yeah, so there's lots of stuff going on in the background which I'm not aware of, which is taking away frame rate.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think to comfortably play, I'm on the outside edge of my capabilities as a graphics card user. Right.
Especially if you're on a multi-box.
Oh, jeez, yeah, I can't even think about that. Although I don't tend to multi-box on the same machine. But that makes it even worse because it means I'd have to get two graphics cards.
One of the interface changes I did notice, which was very nice, you've actually got graphic settings and you've got RAID graphic settings.
Yeah.
So a lot of people complain about, you know, when I'm in a RAID and there's, you know, there's 20 people around me, you know, the effects are such that, you know, I'm getting lag. So to not have to chop and change that and to set your RAID stuff different. And a lot of the time you want to set, you know, change your textures and your views and things so you can see specific spell effects and things. So that's a nice little change.
Yeah. See, I think you're quite right as well because, I mean, the graphic drop-off once you go into, you know, 25-man or 20-man, as it will be, I guess, is huge. I mean, there's just so many effects going off at the same time, so much stuff chattering away.
The only time that I get lag in terms of latency at all, frame rate, is at the start of the Ordos fight. We bloodlust and it's just like, ooh, there's a lot of stuff going on. that's a full 40-man raid. It's full on.
But what I would like, and they've kind of done it, is instead of having a particular set graphic setting for raiding, I'd like just have profiles mm-hmm. that I can quickly switch in and out of.
Yep.
So that, because there's certain times where Battlegrounds, for instance, I would consider, and I suppose maybe you set the raid set for that, I don't know, but to have profiles for different things would be quite cool. Graphic profiles. Just overall UI profiles.
Mm.
We can just quickly switch from one to the other.
Yes, definitely.
Because what you want to be using when you're soloing compared to what you'll be using in a group, compared to what you're using in a raid, compared to what you're using in a battleground may all be very different.
Yep.
You know.
Quite right.
So I don't know how possible that is. I know they obviously can do profiles for certain other things.
Oh, they've got plenty of developers sitting around waiting to implement new things. So I'm sure they could stuff that in. You know, it's not like they're cutting things out, right?
Sadly, they are. Sadly, they're making some tough decisions.
Don't tell me that.
Well, it seems that the thing that basically would have made me come back to World of Warcraft, an heirlooms tab.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would have resubscribed. If I had cancelled my subscription, an heirlooms tab would have made me resubscribe in an instant.
Actually, there's only two things that will make me come back. and one of them was the Heirlooms tab, and the other one really was a fire-breathing corgi. Because I was thinking to myself, there's that cat. Yeah. There's the fire kitty, the cinder kitten.
There's the puppy thing.
Which is fine. Yeah. Which is fine for your cat people, you know. But I want to set a dog on fire.
That's it. And you might be a Queen fan of the royalties, not of the
Freddie Mercury's.
And thus have many corgis in your life. And what better than a corgi on fire?
Now, because of their again, Blizzard being a wee bit fluffy and a little bit mushy, a little bit, it might be a joke, it might not be a joke. I'm not even sure if it's real or not.
What the reaction is.
I still don't really understand if it's real because...
People hate it.
That was a joke. Yeah, it was just a joke. But yes. We have a flame.
I looked at it and I went, "Oh, that looks like a dog that swallowed a phoenix. It's like half bird. It's got feathers around its neck. What the hell's going on there? It's a feathery corgi.
It looks like a fake. It looks like something's only faked together in Photoshop.
Yeah, because its outline looks weird."
Yeah, so I don't know. I still don't know if that's real or not.
Mm.
The guy who put up the original post said it was definitely real, or otherwise he might have a chance of being assassinated. Yeah. But then that sounds all jokey as well, so I don't know. But anyway.
Whatever. Just take my money and give me the corgi.
Yeah, once it's $25, I'll be buying it at some point.
Yeah.
But they also, going back to the beta a little bit and then jumping into another section, you have the opportunity to create several new races, several new model races. There's quite a few of them still aren't showing the new models because I imagine they aren't available, including sort of male humans, that type of thing. But the ones that do, they're kind of weird.
A bit weird?
They're kind of, yeah. When I saw some of the art craft stuff for, say, the dwarven females, I was like, that's amazing. It's really cool. Look at the faces. When you're creating them, they're dead. They're like, I don't know what, and I worked out what it is. They don't blink.
Oh.
So you create them, and what they've done is they've made a huge, massive graphical increase to the eyes and the facial features.
Yeah.
Which.
And they're seeing real eyes, but they don't blink, and it freaks you out.
And they just sort of stare at you like one of those dolls from a horror movie.
Staring competition. I'm great at staring competitions.
You would lose this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives me no joy to create. I wanted to create a dwarven female hunter just to give it a go. But it's not good. Mm-hmm. It looks horrible. Now, the guy who does all this arty stuff.
Mr.
Blink. I had his name. Was it Mr. Robinson?
Blinky Bill.
Blinky Bill, non-Blinky Bill. Yes, Chris Robinson, who's known as Art of CG Robinson on the Twitters. He is the one that has been releasing the various art craft blogs and showing us the new models and also some of the new creative stuff, such as all those little enhancements. By the way, which I couldn't find, the quivers and all that sort of thing. I'm not sure they're in the game yet. He's hurt his finger. Cut his finger. On a sharp knife, and he cut the tendon, which must be
that's a freaking
unpainful thing to happen. Yeah, no, Lord knows, that's horrible. And so when people say to him, well, when are we going to see male humans? He says, I've cut my finger. He says, somebody asked him, because obviously they're talking about this, the whole problem with the facials is that when you're selecting a character, all the faces look very, very similar. The only difference, there are like six or seven of them, but the only difference is basically shading. So you get kind of a slightly different shadow on one side of the face as opposed to the other. Right. So it looks slightly different, but actually pretty much they're all exactly the same. And so somebody said, when are we going to see things like eyebrows, different eyebrows, eye color, lip color, mouth shape, etc., so that we can start to see some definition between these faces? So instead of saying, oh, that's on the way, he has to say, Well, this is all part of our plan to address the same face issue. I'd hoped to get out an arc craft for this, but tendon and finger detached. I don't want to hear... I'm sorry. I'm sorry, the guy...
What about the rest of the 50 people in the team? It's just this one dude.
That's what scares me. I mean, I wish the guy all the luck in the world to be... Cut your finger open with a sculpting knife on his drawing hand. It's hideous. He's an artist, you know. This must be hideous, hideous, hideous. But get somebody else in.
it's not what you want to hear from a company the size of Blizzard, is it?
Exactly. When this Polish guy came around to do our toilet, and he was fixed plumbing, unfortunately, his wife had an accident, so he had to leave it for a couple of days. And I said to myself, that's fine, because he's just one Polish guy that's doing plumbing in the local area.
He's probably the only plumber.
He's probably the only plumber on the island. But I don't expect that from, you know, a multi-million pound company to say, well, we're going to have to slow things down a bit. Chris has done his finger in.
Blink your
later. And even if that is the reason, and we have on this podcast many times said, I wish Blizzard would just tell us the truth about why things are delayed or why things have been removed. But in this case, keep that to yourself.
It is the tyranny of the social media, isn't it? And being out there and saying stuff. So it's like, yeah, I'm sure the PR guys are sitting there going,
jeez, Chris.
Facepalm.
I don't think there's just one artist.
Oh, dear.
Now, I imagine that he's the guy responsible for the blog, the craft blog.
Right.
And therefore, it's that that's delayed. Yeah.
It's all done. It just hasn't been blogged. Let's go with that.
I hope
we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
It has caused a little bit of a rumble among our Twitter timelines, because people have had the opportunity to go into certain model viewers, put in their current character, and have that produce what the character will look like in Warlords, and being less than impressed. Because as much as it's fantastic to see hair bobbing, and to see muscles tensing, flexing even, and to see, you know, a lot more movement in the character, if you don't like the face of your character, or you don't like the general feel of your character, for many people that is a problem. Personally, for me, you know,
just stick a helmet on it. Mask.
Yes, exactly right. I rarely see the front of my character, and when I do, I don't take the helmet off. So it's not a huge for me personally. It's not a huge issue. Although creating a character from scratch, it has been an issue where I just don't like any of these, which I didn't think would be the case. So hopefully they do move forward quickly on new faces.
Well, there's that. And I think there's also, you know, people have this expectation about what their characters look like, and to change them makes them feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And there was this goes way back to BlizzCon when this was brought up, and we have forgotten many of the blazing fires that are still burning because others have come along to quench them.
Mm.
And blaze even harder, such as the not giving us a free character change, which is something that was asked. I think it may have been asked somebody asked Rob Pardo. Maybe this is what he went. It might have been Mike Morham, I'm not sure, but one of the two of them said, "Well, if you know people are very attached to the way their characters look, would it not be just okay to say you can go through the stage of creating again?" You know, changing the face and stuff at no cost. But I'm starting to think more likely it was Morheim now, but whoever it was said, well, yeah, you can pay for that, it's fine.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, take my money. Because, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. I think they should let everybody have at least one or two. They don't necessarily have to give them one for every character.
Mm.
A couple of free changes and it's nothing to them.
Yeah, I mean, most of them are really couldn't give a stuff, but I mean, some characters you don't want
your named character. I mean, I would quite happy have White and Jeppy changed if need be. I haven't seen the male Belf, so I don't know. It's no one we haven't seen, so I don't know what effect that's going to have. But yeah, you know, I don't see why if I was so chagrined by the whole thing, I'd have to pay to change. They were, isn't it also, I don't know if we've lost sight of this, but somebody was saying that you could also just elect not to have the new model.
Yeah, there was mention of that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I don't remember how that works, though.
I've no idea how that works. No. Mm. Does that mean you see the old model, but everybody else sees the new model?
Yeah, that'd be weird, wouldn't it?
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
So they need to think about this. And it's just pure PR. It's just, it's like the heirloom tab. We said that that's not likely to make it now to launch. And it's not a huge thing, but we were discussing this before we started recording. It seems a relatively easy code. Well, from our point of view, I imagine. It doesn't seem huge because it's not like they haven't explored those areas already. I mean, the fact that you can cross realm and cross server send items doesn't seem,
storage models where it's shared, as in, you know, the guild bank. So, I mean, it wouldn't be too hard to slap some code together to have a personal tab that was effectively a guild bank that you could just stick heirlooms in that you can access on other characters.
Yeah. And again, it seems a relatively small thing, but a big win.
Mm.
And giving people the opportunity to change their characters, maybe even, because also we don't know what is going to be in 6 and what will be in 6 being prior to Warlord's official launch and 6.01 being afterwards.
Yep.
I mean, if new models come in 6, it's not like they have a fear that on launch day everybody's going to be smashing the server by changing their models. You can give them the opportunity to do that beforehand.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I mean, typically it's, you know, all of the functional changes is in the .0 and the release of the expansion is just content, not functional, feature changes like that.
So it doesn't need to be a huge hit. I just think they just seem to be nice little ticks that they could easily do that would please a lot of people, that would just, you know, allay fears that are unnecessary perhaps, but still fears.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, well.
Time so I hope tell. Your finger gets better, Chris.
Yes. Pip, pip.
Please. Pip, pip.
I think that's it with the news. Jeez, that was a long news segment. I think it was about an hour of news. Oh, well, time to wrap it up. See you next month.
For well...
Gumonthly.
Gumfly. You've been doing stuff.
I've been doing stuff. Have you been doing stuff? I know you haven't started another referrer friend because you sound sane and kind of relaxed. So
I have to say, my mouse hovered over creating another referrer friend just about 2 or 3 days ago. Because there was a little sale going on. Every now and then Blizzard say, oh, you can have this stuff. It doesn't cost us anything. It's digital. We'll give it to you for half price. But how is it full price? I don't understand. It's the same. Anyway, they can give stuff away willy-nilly. So they were charging $10 for the Warcraft and they were charging $10 for the Mists of Pandaria, which, by the way, I don't understand why they're not rolled in together again.
Yeah, just make it one.
They were also doing a weird thing where if you bought, you could buy the whole collection. You buy pre-order for Warlords as well at the same time and save yourself another $10.
Oh.
Which I didn't partake in.
Oh, I would have partaken in that.
I don't know why I didn't do that actually, but anyway. Maybe because I had already spent stupid money at the Steam sale. But, so they did that. So I bought a couple of those and I did think to myself, now that I know that the PTR slot is separate from my other 2 spare slots, because that was my biggest fear, that I'd get into the beta but not have a slot.
Yeah.
But what I had been thinking of, and this is going to sound horrible, and lots of people are going to say, oh, Jeppy, you're such a pain in the ass. I wanted to go into a PvP server with a high-level character and just gank people. And just death from above.
It's your turn. That's been done to you. Now it's your turn to do that. Do unto others.
Yeah. Mm. And this is what I was saying earlier when I was talking about having to looking up the different WoW populations. Because...
Oh, I see. So you're just doing that to figure out where you can roll a character to be gankapalooza.
Massive. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to have, you know, the optimum gankage. Because what I didn't want to do is go onto a server that was so heavy in favor of my particular faction that I couldn't find anybody to gank. Because that would be ridiculous. I'd be flying around all day. And then again, I didn't want to go into a server that was completely biased against my faction, because then I would be the one being ganked.
The ganky.
So that's why I was quite interested in the Emerald Dream, as it seemed to have parity between the two.
Right.
I haven't done it yet. And what I was going to use is way, way back with Scroll of Resurrection ended, so I created a load of Scroll of Resurrection because I had ridiculous numbers all waiting there to be used. And those cats have just sat on those redundant dead accounts gathering dust.
Yep.
So I thought, well, maybe I could just pop a couple over to my current account, the one that's active. I only have one. This is another weird thing. I only have one active account, including as well as the beta.
Oh, my Lord.
No, first time ever for ages. But I thought I could bring them over, stick them onto a nice PvP server, and just spend, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day ganking lobbies.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
For no apparent reason. I'll just to get a reputation. Because yeah. I don't. Do you ever watch this WoW Prophets?
No.
Do you follow him on Twitter at all?
No.
You can't miss him. He's dressed like a clown. He's advertising clown. I think it's that weird clown from Stephen King book. But he's created. Did I mention this on the last podcast? He's a gold maker. I mean, you can tell he's a gold maker because his name's WoW Prophet.
Yeah.
And he had made substantial
gold. It was
gold.
Either that or he was, you know, making bold acclamations predictions.
Well, vain.
And he just spelled it wrong.
With a Z at the end, it's cool. Yeah. And he had made substantial amounts of gold, I think mainly in flipping stuff. I don't think he got involved professionally. He was just going onto the auctions, buying stuff and selling it and so on and so forth. So he's making good gold. And he also had been playing for a long time. So he had multiple characters across multiple servers, including EU servers as well as American. And he also had multi-box as well. So he made his bones.
Yep.
He made his bones. He had a substantial amount of characters, deleted them all, purged everything.
What?
Everything. 90s, 70s, you know, guild banks, giving away. There's a 6 hour, which I don't necessarily advise you to watch the whole 6 hours, but just jumping out of it, video of him purging everything.
Oh my God.
And he would go up to, he'd collect all the gold from the guild bank and from his own personal bank. He would collect all the items and he would sell them regardless. He was selling purples galore, not even check vendoring. I'm talking about walk up to a vendor. He had macros that were just going boom, 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 sold. Boom, 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 boom. All the greens, all the purples, all the blah, 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 gone. Whatever money he made, depending upon the amount, he would just walk up to a random dude, trade it to him. Dude, walk away with 20,000 gold, 30,000 gold.
So clearly, he's gone insane.
Mentally insane. But then, and then the next day, he starts again.
He's on
Tychondrius, which is a very horde heavy server, PvP server. And he's already, I mean, this, I can't remember how long ago it was, but a couple of weeks ago maybe a bit longer that he did his purge. But he's already on his third level 90. So he's, you know, he's doing okay. And he's already making gold hand over fist.
So he's got some spare time.
He's on a PvP server. And his guild is called Gank Legion. So what I wanted to do is create a character on the other side of the faction. And then follow him around while he was streaming and just keep ganking him. Is that so wrong?
That sounds fine.
Is that a horrible, hideous thing to do?
No.
Yeah. So as you can
see, sounds like you'd love it and you'd just laugh maniacally. Like,
he does tweet. He does.
Nutter.
Does tweet pick the times that he manages to win a ganking and the time that he's ganked. He is an equal opportunity ganker.
Fair enough.
So he does tweet his dead corpse as well as the corpse of others. So it's not like he's not acknowledging the fact that he is being ganked continuously on this. And this is what is even madness about that, of course, is that he's playing Horde on a 85% Horde server. And yet there's still Alliance who have the guts to go and have a pop at him in the open. So anyway. So that was kind of inspiring my, I know it's horrible, and I used to hate being ganked for no apparent reason other than the fact that I happened to be the opposite faction. So
it's been a long time since I played on a PvP server. I've got to admit, I do have a bit of a hankering.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it weird? Because it's almost like it's, and I apologize to our female listeners, but it's like pregnancy. It's like giving birth. Because I have sat through
the birth of all my children. You get so much trouble for that.
No, but no, it's not like that at all. But what it isn't like that. It isn't like anywhere near the pain, discomfort, and obviously all the stuff. But it's the memory of it that you don't remember. Because if my wife remembered the pain and suffering she went through with the first child, that would have been the last child.
I take your point.
Because you know, and I was in a lot of pain as well, because she had a grip of my hand. I swear to God, I almost lost a finger. But anyway, yeah. So I'm not saying that it's any way comparable. I'm just saying the memory loss that you have of being on a PvP server and the frustration and hideousness of the whole thing.
I'll go back
you
and forget, level it to and 10 you just, and go, what was I thinking?
Exactly. So I haven't been doing a lot, but I have been doing a lot of thinking. And like I say, just the one account at the moment. I don't know. That's thanks to the wonderful Strumpet, who, again, earlier on, actually think for my birthday, gave me small WoW time. So that's why that one's chugging along.
What a lovely lady.
She's stunning. She's absolutely stunning. But whether I will, because following the last recruit friend, I do have several 85s, which could easily go through the Panda experience.
Yep.
I probably should start thinking about doing that, because there's a couple of those which I don't currently have a 90, Warrior and Monk.
Well, there you go.
So I should probably do that.
That should be on the list for sure.
Yeah. It's not like I said, oh, I'm not going to be playing, I'm going to not do these accounts. It's just that I need to think about what I want to do. I don't want to necessarily have accounts active, which I'm not using at the moment. Mm. But once I start to play again, I will activate, particularly probably the last two RAF accounts. Because as I say, there's 85s that sat there. But basically, that's been it, and a bit of beetering.
Yep.
You know, like I say, I did. I've had the fun of trying out all the various mounts. You get every single mount when you get your character created in the beta.
So first thing you do is get on the Phoenix, yeah.
Yeah, Ashes of Alar. Everybody's on Ashes of Alar on the beta server. Yep. Which, by the way, although its rarity is what causes it to be sought, it's actually not that nice amount. It really is sending out so many lines of crap and you can't see where you're going.
Oh, I suppose.
Your hands are on fire.
Probably annoying if you're flying around with it like that, but it does look.
Yeah. It looks magnificent from the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. From other people looking at you, you look fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But all those lines that are dodging out of it. So I've been taking a video of that and then going to pretend that I had it all the time.
You've got to have it the whole time.
Yeah. So I definitely want to say to people, in about a week's time, I'll be saying to people on the beta, well, I've always had it. So, you know, yaboo. But that's it, really. I've just been doing that.
Fair enough. Well, I've been doing some stuff.
Stuff.
Bit of stuff here, bit of stuff there. Here's some stuff, there's some stuff.
Everywhere, some stuff.
Stuff. So, I can't even remember if we talked about it, but for a while now, I've been plodding along and once heard that the Green Fire Quest was going to be a feat of strength come 6.0, I went, right, must do that. Must get my Green Fire, even though it was frustrating the crap out of me. So, I reckon I'm probably, you know, if not the most, I'd have to be at, you know, like in the top 5% for sure of the most ridiculous times, number of times that I've wiped trying to get that fight done without giving up. I just tried and I tried and I tried and I just kept on doing it. And, you know, sometimes I'd make a bit of progress and a lot of times I'd go backwards. And I just, I'm one of those people, and I think it's why it's like I don't like PvP. If there's just so much stuff going on, you know, and I've got to focus on more than one or two things, I just freak out and, you know, just lose it completely. This fight is like that. There's just so much going on. It was very slow going. But I persisted and I tried and I tried and I don't know how many hundreds, and it would have been hundreds of times that I wiped on that fight. And every time I died, 20 gold repair, 20 gold, 20 gold, 20 gold, 20 gold. Like, that's costing you a freaking fortune.
How many times did you think that's it? Just not going to do it.
No, never thought that. As soon as I knew it was going to be a feat of strength, it's like, I'm not giving up. You know, for me, it was kind of like a boss fight where, you know, you don't get a boss down the first time. You got to try and try and try and try. Yeah, and do it for days or weeks on end, and, you know, thinking back to Lich King. So it's like that, right? I just need to do it enough times until I become comfortable with each phase and not panic and, you know, remember to heal myself or dispel myself or get into the right position or, you know, save my burning embers to get down the fell pups. Because where I was failing most of the time was that the fell hunters would come out and they do a dispel, which dispels the enslave I've got on the pit demon, and so the pit demon comes and kills me. Either that, or I'd forget to dispel myself by standing in front of the pit demon and have him do the big dispel thing, and, you know, the boss is attacking me because I can't drop threat anymore by going through the gateway like you could before. 5.3, and you know, it just killed me because I, you know, wasn't healing myself up enough, and so I just plodded along and did it and did it and did it and did it. And
you didn't even smack your head against the keyboard once.
Several times. Okay. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, I did it all in one session. I was like, okay, well that's enough for today. I'll go and do something else. Drive myself crazy today. So it was over several days. Okay. And many, many attempts. And I got on one night and the guys were all hanging out in Vent and we're sitting there chatting and I had a crack, and for the first time in a while, I actually got through the fell puppies, the fell hound, the hunters, and I'm like, oh, that was all right. Got through that. And then the next demon dude comes out and I actually managed to banish him without too much fuss. I went, oh, that's all right. Went and stood in front of a pit lord and did the heal and doing some attacking. And I'm thinking, oh, hang on a minute. And the heart's starting to beat a bit faster. Right? And I was like, I didn't want to say anything because, yeah, if I stuffed it up, I'd get really annoyed. And I just, I managed to, I got through the next round of the doing the rain of fire down on all the imps that come out. And then I just went hell for leather and DPSed as hard as I could. I was determined to get him down before the next round of fell hunters come out, because I knew if they come out and I had to handle another three of those, that I would just lose it. And I did it. I actually...
How DPSed close was that?
Seconds. Yeah, a small number of seconds.
But the heart was going.
Oh, when the palms were sweaty, the heart was going. And I was screaming in bed, woohoo! And they're like, hello, what's going on here? But, and then once you finish it, he actually just stands there in the middle and he's like, you know, all woozy, woozy. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Whew. Yeah. And there's this dude standing there, and I went and talked to him and you talked to the NPC. Like, oh, thank God for that. And then I'm looking at the screen and there's this countdown going. I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. I've actually got to do something. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And you've got to use because the whole point was you've got to charge up some well or drain something, or, you know, basically you have to go and click on him. and charge it up. And I'm clicking on him, and it takes quite a few seconds, and this countdown's going. And I don't know if it was from the game or deadly boss mods or something. I'm like, oh shit. But I did actually manage to complete the quest before. And I thought, if that timer ends and he like despawns or he comes back to life or something, I would have completely lost it.
You went, yay! I can get a cup of tea now.
Back in a minute. Come back and it's like,
jump out, your body's there.
Boom! Quest failed. I was like, so yeah, mate. So I've done it.
It was funny because. When you'd done it, you tweeted, but what you did is you tweeted your taskbar, and everything had turned green.
Exactly. That was.
But I didn't know what that was. And he was going, "Congrats!" I'm going, "What? I can make mine green. Just mess with the colours." I hadn't worked out, and then I suddenly twigged what you'd done. I was like, "Hey!"
Yeah.
But I saw the bar going, oh dear, I can do that.
I was surprised by that. I didn't really expect my buttons to actually turn green as well. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I do like the look of the green fire. I must admit, now that I've got it, before I had it, I'm like, yeah, I don't really care about green fire, but now I've got it, yeah, that looks pretty cool actually. So
still relatively unique, I'd say.
Oh,
I know lots of people are trying to do it, but
yeah. Yeah, I wonder what kind of percentage of warlocks have attempted it, and then what percentages of them have actually succeeded? Because it is one hell of a fight. It really is.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it. My heart was going even there.
Yeah, you've really got to know your class and know how to not lose your shit. So
does that mean will it disappear then? Come 6 point, whatever.
No, I'll get an achievement for having completed that quest before 6.0 came out.
Oh, okay. So then after that, it'll no longer be a tick towards a feat of strength. It'll just be you'll just get your green
star. Yeah, you can still do it. Yeah. And I imagine, it'll be easy because you'll be way overpowered.
Well, exactly, because that's when I'll be doing it, when I'm 100.
Yeah.
Well, I can one shot that pit boss.
Exactly. So yeah, pretty happy with
where. Yeah, I go. Yeah, I did it.
One shot the pit lord, and then turn to the boss. No problem. That's what you'll be up to.
So I think that as soon as Warlords hits, there should still be a green fire quest, but it should be not a very nice green.
Yeah,
just a bit of a wishy-washy green.
Wishy-washy pukey green.
I'd like to I know you can see, maybe you can look up the feat of strength, but it would be nice for a lot of these things to be able to define when it was. You know, we said this before, with Asterix is next to staff, and the fact that I'm Kingslayer.
Yeah.
Kingslayer. It was nothing. Yeah, but the fact that I'm Kingslayer against somebody who really is a Kingslayer, who was in there in the first, blossoming off that particular event.
Yeah. Spent months on it. And then
I just walk around with nine
other people and get heroic Kingslayer in about 3 seconds.
I know, exactly. So it does. Sometimes I do. I feel real hatred towards people who want to be special snowflakes, but at the same time, I can see it from their point of view. When you can say, I did it when it was when it was worth doing, when it was hard.
And even
it's really distinguished.
Even things like the next thing that I was going to talk about, the Herald of the Titans.
Oh yeah.
So I mean that's still an achievement that's available in Alduar, and but it is gated in that you're limited in the gear that you can actually wear for that fight. So so it's still an achievement of effort. Unlike just waltzing and killing the Lich King, but still. You can game the system now. There's better food you can have. There's better flasks you can eat. There's better potions that you can pre-pot. So it's still not like you did it, back when 80 was actually the max level.
Yeah.
It still goes, a big step towards having really felt like you earned it. And I feel like we earned it because we got it. We went in there with our 8 geared up people, and we actually got a pug. It was like really weird. I forget who it was now. One of them was in Dalaran, and some random hunter whispered him, because he was obviously all decked out. He was level 80 and he was all decked out. And this random hunter whispered and said, "You're doing Herald of the Titans." And he's gone, "Yeah." He says, "I've got a tune that's geared up for that. You know, can I come along?" And he's gone, "Yeah, all right." so we get this random pug hunter who joins in, and he goes, "Oh yeah, I'm a twinkaholic." So he's got all his alts, but he twinks them out as well. Mm-hmm. And as a hunter, I have to give him a shout out. It's a hunter called Gun Control on the Sentinel server.
Gun
Control. And he certainly knew his shit. I'll tell you that. He certainly knew how to play his hunter. So we went in there and he said, "Oh, I can actually pull." And then, you know, while he's doing the, all his yabba 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 at the start of the fight, I can actually have an arcane shot up on him and start doing DPS before you guys can even pull. I'm like, "Yeah, all right. That sounds good."
We'll have some of that.
We'll have some of that. Unfortunately, we actually wiped on that first attempt. And then, yeah, the long yamma yamma is only for the first attempt. Once you've walked in there and engaged him, you know, then subsequent attempts, there's only a very short period. So it's like 5 seconds after I charge.
No more pre-arcane.
Yeah. So no more of that. But what we'd decided, and there was only 9 of us, we didn't fill a 10th slot, which I felt really bad about after the fact, because I'd actually asked in Kill Chat if anybody wanted to come along, and somebody said, "Yeah, I can, but I'm not geared," and it was all a bit of a fluster trying to figure out what the hell we were doing, and you know, they didn't end up inviting them into the group. Yeah, but we'll do it again. So we decided we're going to zerg it rather than go through the whole, try and do all the mechanics and DPS everything down nicely and do the whole black hole thing. It was like, let's see if we can zerg it and actually kill him before the black hole goes off. Because just as a reminder, when the black hole goes off, everybody has to jump into the black hole because he does a big AoE, but one person has to stay out and like soak that damage. So we're zerging away, and then I'll get the DBM counter for black hole, and it was pretty clear that, you know, there's no way we're actually going to kill him before the black hole goes off. And in all our previous attempts, the black hole had been the end of us. As soon as the black hole went off, you know, everybody would die and we'd just wipe and, you know, never really figured out why. So black hole was about to pop, and I yell into Mumble, "Black hole, you know, everybody into the hole." And then as I said that, I realized, oh, we haven't actually prepared for anybody to stay out and soak it. So I better stay out and soak it. I'm like, where's my, my shield walls and all this other crap that I've got on this warrior that I don't know how to play in? Slammed all these buttons, and lo and behold, I actually survived the black hole. I went, "Oh, there's a first."
Soaked it up.
And I look up, and lo and behold, most of the rest of the raiders survived it as well. And they turned around and went pew 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 pew, and he died. And we went, "Holy shit, we did it." It was like,
that was a shock.
It was our second attempt of the night. We're like, "Oh, well, now we're going to do, I don't know, that's it." We're done now. So
it's a funny one, that, isn't it? Because although you were saying earlier that there are certain ways of gaming it because you are being able to use it for flasks and so on and so forth, the part of the skill to that is to be able to gear yourself correctly.
Oh, yeah. We spend months gearing ourselves up for that.
When the hunter joined, did you have to check him over to be sure that he was?
Yeah. We looked up in the armory, and he was in full 226 gear, and, you know, it was all enchanted, and, you know, he had to work. So clearly, yeah, it was definitely a geared out tune for Herald of the Titans. And we're chatting to him afterwards, and he said, "Actually, yeah, my My guild's been doing it, and you know, we actually do it as a you know, drag people through and charge them for it. So it's like a charge service.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, but that'll be $1,000.
No, so if you know, if any of you guys you know, want to come along on any of those runs, then yeah, you're more than welcome. I'm like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
So yeah, so we're all pretty chuffed with that. But there were still two or three of us, you know, because only eight of us could make it on that day. There's still two or three of us that don't have the achievement. So we're, of course, we're all leaving all those tunes at 80, and we'll run it again. So. If there is anybody out there that has geared up a level 80 tune for Herald of the Titans and wants to come along,
so when you drop us a line. The next time you go in, obviously you'll still be eligible.
Yep.
And it will just give it to the people who hadn't yet got that.
That's it.
Achievement.
Yeah, they'll get the achievement.
Okay. Hmm. It doesn't have to be a certain number that are geared correctly or...
Oh, yeah. Everybody has to be geared correctly.
But the... The fact that you already have it isn't going to be a factor.
No, not at all. And basically what we proved is, well, you know, we could take in eight or nine really well-geared people and, you know, carry one or two people.
Oh, hello. I think you just played my tune.
Yeah, what was that?
What's that? Carry, you say?
I think I understand what you just said then.
I was looking for an 80.
Yeah. Oh, and all your scroll of resurrections are 80s, aren't they? Or
is they are.
85. They're all 80s.
They're 80s.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what gear they've got. I think they've got slightly higher than 226 there.
No. You can,
I don't know.
You can buy some stuff from the quartermaster in Hyjal and get some other gear. It's not too hard to. And you. The least you can do really is to run through the those ICC five mans, Forge of Souls, Halls of Reflection, Pit of Saron. You'll get pretty good gear by running through those. I mean, the best gear is by running through Alduar itself, but you know, not mandatory if the majority of your team's geared up well.
I'm just going to go in my loincloth. Well, I don't.
Yeah. Why? Just go in and die in the first second of the fight. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think I'll put that next to Kingslayer and say, yeah, I did that.
Kingslayer, Herald of the Titan, did that before I was 100.
It's amazing.
Yeah, very good. There you go. So, what else have we been doing? Been doing
you
some
were
raiding.
Talking about a new project. Weren't you doing some sort of new project?
We are doing a new project. So, oh, so. The That's Not a Knife, the TNAC Guild. Majority of us have all dinged 90 now, so that whilst I threaten them with no, this project isn't over until Grosh is dead on these tunes. The likes of Leader and Wingy kind of just looked at me sideways and not a chance, sunshine.
Gee quit.
Yeah. So yeah, I do have that warlock to 90 now. So now, of course, I'm staring at that 90 warlock gun. I should probably do green fire on that.
A piece of piss now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, piece of piss. No, it wouldn't be. But I wouldn't be so stressed about it. I'd go back and do a much more leisurely approach to it. So yeah, so our TNAC project is pretty much wrapping up. And so we've started the next project. Next project is not all warlock DPS tankies run through dungeons. This project is healers only.
What?
Healers only.
Healers, spec'd healers only.
Spec'd healers, yep. So unless you're a healing class in healing spec, you're not coming along with us.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What a hideous thing to have happen, not being taken into a whole healer group. Can't tell you how upset I am.
So
how is that even feasible? The warlock thing I thought was a little bit of a chance.
But five healers? Well, five. Let me tell you.
So does that include monks? I don't think you should include monks either.
Yeah, monks in healing class. That's all right.
See, monks hit stuff as well.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, most healers do have an attack as well. But the monks are at a bigger disadvantage because your DPS gear is different to your healing gear.
Okay.
So I decided on Paladin, probably the healer I know to play least. So I figured, let's make it really challenging, and I'll play a Pally. Don't remember how to heal a Pally.
Challenging. You saw that plate and you went, yeah, okay, I think I'd rather be in plate on this particular project.
Yeah.
Than cloth.
Yeah. I think. Well, you're right.
Ooh.
it was the fact that it was a plate. And so to balance that out, my healing paladin is in all cloth.
What? Do you have a blender in your house? You have a blender.
Will it just blend?
Without your genitals, power that blender up and shove them in there. I'm trying to think of anything that could be more painful than playing all healers with a paladin in cloth.
Yeah.
Genitals in a blender, possibly, is more painful than that. Jeez, boy. Do you all just sit there in internet going, how can we make this even harder?
Yeah, how can we make this harder? Exactly.
Very good.
So we go in there and it's like, you start off with your paladin, you've got like one attack spell that's on a 4-second cooldown. You go attack. Attack. Nice day we're having. Yeah, it's pretty good weather. Yeah. Attack. And it doesn't get a lot better real quick. You kind of get one healing spell, and so it's all haunt. And, of course, paladins get reckoning, so I'm generating threat, right? So,
yeah.
So they're all hitting on me, the pallian cloth. So I go, attack, heal, attack.
How fast is stuff going down?
Heal's going off left, right, and center. Well, it depends on how many people go into the dungeon. So we rocked on into Ragefire Chasm at level 11. Ragefire Chasm being you can't get the quests in there until you're 15. So
you're Horde. You're Horde.
So Horde. Yes, we are Horde. We're in Clan of Darkness 2.
Okay.
So
this is not over on every peak now, obviously.
No. So we thought we've opened it up to all Clan of Darkness and Patrol Light WoW people if they wanted to join us. And a few people are crazy enough and are actually attending it. You're welcome to try, mate. So four level 11 healers. We had two pallies, leaders of pally as well. Wingy on a priest and Matter on a monk. So we rock in there, level 11, and just tear the place to pieces. Easy peasy. Not a problem. And then Matter had to go. There was only three of us. So we tore through it again. Not a problem. And then Wingy.
What a great name.
Yeah, Dingy. Dingy winged.
Dingy winked.
And Wingy dinged. Wingy was a bit ahead of us, and he actually dinged 15 and handed in all the quests. And he's gone, I shouldn't do that again. I'm getting too far ahead. You and Leader just do it. It's two of us at level, 13. Two healers walking to Ragefire Chasm at level 13. And, mate, we got through it. We tore it to shreds.
Please tell me. Please tell me at least it was hard.
Well, it was. There was no. The thing about everyone being healers and throwing heals left, right, and centre, stuff takes a little longer to die. But you're not usually in any huge danger of dying.
No.
It's
like a holy paladin in DPS. It's not going to kill anything, but you're not going to kill it.
Yeah. No, well, we're actually doing, stuff's going down a lot faster than what I thought. I mean, we got through that dungeon, it felt pretty darn quick. I mean, it's not that big nowadays.
No.
But we got through it. We were part way through it and we both dinged 15. So we went back to the start, picked up the quest, reset it, and went through it and cleared it and handed in the quests.
you surprise me every week.
So being 15, of course, what are you going to do when you're 15? You're going to go down to Stranglethorn, aren't you, and walk your way over to Deadmines. Because, of course, you can't use your dungeon finder.
No.
Although I did suggest to the group that, I'm a pally, so I could queue as tank, and Lita could queue as DPS, and you guys could queue as a healer, and we could actually queue and get in there and then just kick the fifth person. I went, no, that's really mean. I went, yeah, I know, but, I'm allowed to think it, aren't I?
Yeah.
But we did, we just walked. We walked our way over to Deadmines through Stranglethorn Vale.
Please tell me you got killed several times.
I think I was 16 by then. So level 16 paladin versus level 24 lashtail raptor. Paladin 1, lashtail raptor 0.
What? This is all turned around.
So I don't know. This is red. So I was
in
like,
cloth.
Miss. In cloth. Cloth in cloth. Pale cloth.
You didn't bother slapping some plate on for the walk.
I've got, I think my headpiece is male.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go then. Yeah. I was all impressed until you told me that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't have any gloves yet. You know, obviously don't have any rings or trinkets or anything yet. So, yeah. So still killing stuff that's red, as a cloth pally. Stuff that was six levels above me.
How'd that take?
That took probably a minute or so to kill the raptor.
Again, it was whack, whack, fast. Heal, whack, whack, heal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So we did move on over to Deadmines and run that as well. Got through that without any hassle whatsoever. So far, I know the scaling changes as things go up and you do different amounts of DPS as a healer. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it scales and how many people we actually need to complete a dungeon in under 8 hours as all healers.
Scary. Scares me. Crazy, scares me that you're able to do that.
Crazy.
I salute you all, but some
and at the same time you roll your eyes.
My eyes are spinning.
Mm.
They're spinning back and forth. It's unbelievable. I can barely see because they get rolling so much.
Yeah, can imagine.
No, it's stunning because this is just another one of these proofs, if we needed any more, that you can always find something in the game to challenge you. Well, it doesn't sound like you've been challenged at the moment, but hopefully later on you'll be challenged and also that you find enjoyable.
It's a challenge, it's enjoyable, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
What more can you want?
And it's something that nobody said, you know, something that you've come up with. It's not something Blizzard has, you know, suggested or, you know, just thought to yourself.
We are getting towards the end of the expansion, so, you know, it's not going to be too much longer before I go. Probably about time I fired up another Iron Man, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you do.
There was a challenge. I think it may have been part of the beta, which was like Iron Man PvP, where there was a limitations. I can't remember what the limitations were, but they were quite Iron Man-ish. And you went and you saw how many free V3s you could win.
Okay.
Now, I don't know whether the other three had to be Iron Men as well, because otherwise that sounds like a bit of a turkey shoot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, is it Devalor or Law was scouting that around.
That could be interesting. We did, we've bandied about the idea of, well, when we get to 19 and 24 and 29, we'll go and do PvP for a level. So we actually went in and did a couple of battlegrounds at level 19. Sadly, I think we pretty much came up against the pre-mades. And I pretty much made the record for the number of times dying.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine anybody on your own team wasn't whispering you, mate, you're in cloth. No one noticed that.
No one noticed. No, no, it's the paladin in priest heirloom gear.
And leaders in cloth as well.
I'm not sure what leader's wearing, to be honest. Good chances she's in a fair amount of cloth. So the PvP so far, not that rewarding.
But healers, the trouble, unless you've got DPS protecting your healer, you're going to go down.
I mean, they were just well formed, and they're just like, okay, you're dead, and you just can't out heal that at this level.
No, I wonder. I suppose probably warlords would make it a little bit easier. Because there's a balancing going on, isn't there? Supposedly.
Oh, I don't know. That's PvP. I just go in there and die. That's all I know about PvP.
It's funny because
PvP's this thing you queue up and die for.
I wonder if it. Because we know that when you get gear, it won't matter. It will switch to depending upon the role you're playing.
Yeah. I'm with you now. Yep.
Yeah.
Might help a little bit.
Interesting. But I don't know whether that's a con. You have to switch. So if you still go in as a cloth pally, it's not like it's going to suddenly go, bug off, mate. Here's some plate.
No.
And we're going to PvP it up. Yeah. Is it? You're going to have to consciously decide to gimp yourself.
Mm.
Okay.
I think maybe what I should do is actually stand in the back and heal people rather than like be up in the front lines and try and DPS and heal as well.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't work so well.
Actually, a team, it tends to happen that a good healer in a battleground is somebody who stays away from the fight.
Mm. Yep.
And just focuses on keeping the DPS up and the tanks or whatever. There's tanks there.
Yeah.
You get a lot more love.
There wasn't that much, you guys are freaking useless type. Battleground chat. It was more things like, "Hey guys, make sure you keep spreading out and don't worry about protecting the healers."
Leave them healers alone. They're obviously on some sort of suicide mission.
That's it.
Sounds cool. That
sounds cool.
You really need to start videoing some of these.
We do. Yeah, I need to get some software to do that.
Yeah. Because it is streaming. A bit of streaming would be cool.
Oh, the streaming. Maybe.
Not people streaming. Not people streaming. Oh, Vita. It would be nice to see some.
People stream crazy things. I even saw Strumpet trying to do some streaming today.
Yeah. She YouTubed it up. I was thinking it's a weird reaction that the amount of people that get, "Oh, I've got my Vita invite. Here's the stream." I don't know whether
you. Of course, it's the first thing you do. Naturally,
it does seem odd that they do that. Mm. I'm thinking of doing some more streaming. While I was hospitalised, BTR ISP British Telecom upgraded our speed.
Oh,
significantly!
Wow,
not just the download, which is now ridiculously fast. Oh. Which I don't really understand how fast it is, but it's 80 megabits a second, I think.
Oh, you bastard.
It's really fast.
I'll get 3.5.
Well, there you go. This is a wee bit faster. But what was about half a megabit a second up is now 19.
Truth.
I know. So I think I'm well within the streaming, streaming abilities now.
Streamer-palooza, mate. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know. What I won't do, and I will never do, is I don't understand streamers who show their faces. I don't want to see your face.
Mm. I want to see the game you're playing.
Yeah, get your face and all that graphics asking me to give you money out of the way, and I'll watch the stream. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
I'll see. I haven't decided yet. Mm. The only bottleneck, of course, is my graphics card. So I don't think about that.
Might slow things
down. But yeah, that could be a potential. Could be a potential bit of a WoW Geek streaming.
Maybe this weekend I'll stream some Entitlement Raid.
Oh yeah, Entitlement.
Yeah, doing a bit of raiding now with the Molson and the Strumpet and the Bitter and Salty Guild. without the salty?
No, salt is gone, isn't he?
Well, no.
Isn't he in crab dick or something?
his hiatus didn't last very many minutes, did it?
Oh, literally minutes. Mm. It was a bit unfair that the minute his hiatus began, they launched the alpha.
It was just
a tad unfair, and I don't see anybody not breaking under those circumstances. Mm. But honestly, he said, "Okay, the hiatus is about to start. Oh, there's an alpha."
Yeah.
So I don't blame, don't blame the lad in any way, shape, or form. And also, I don't think he would have enjoyed being out of the game even if alpha wasn't around.
No, I'm kind of glad.
He saw sense, I think.
But we've only had one run so far, the entitlement rate team, and I actually took a Shayo. That's radical. Yeah. I'm actually doing some raiding on my main. And it's nice to be DPSing for a change rather than healing.
It's nice to know that people know who you are.
No one knows who I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm just this warlock that comes along and does fairly below average DPS.
Green fire.
But I've got green fire, exactly. Cop that.
Yes.
So, nice bunch of people. Looking forward to some more of that.
I still haven't. I've gone into the, I'd like to go around and gank the world. But I haven't moved into that. Maybe I should do some raiding yet. It still hasn't really. It's never. There was that little brief moment. Grasped you. A few guys and.
Well, if you do do start the Gankapalooza, then let me know on what realm, because I've got a bit of a hankering for leveling a warrior and maybe a hankering for some PvP serverish.
When you say leveling a warrior, you mean from
a PvP
from
server.
From level one.
Uno.
That might be it.
Because I've got a hankering to play my warrior, but he's my Herald of the Titan turn. I can't level him until everyone else has got the title.
Ah.
Mm. So he might just sit there at 80 forever.
You know what? I think I may well take you up on that offer. Because I had considered multi-boxing it. But I was thinking, I don't really want to. I'd like to see what it's like on the ground, as it were, with just the one character.
Mm.
Yeah, that
especially
might be
on the PvP realm, multi-boxing. It's annoying because they take you out your leader and then you're like...
exactly. Yeah, and it just gets... Yeah, it gets a messy.
Mm.
Maybe a WoW Geekly project.
Could be a bit of fun.
PvP.
And we'll drag along some other people kicking and screaming.
Yeah, there's five-man... There's gankage five-man.
Oh, there you go.
Five-man... Gankage. Well, I'm all excited now. Might have to give that some serious thought.
All right.
Sweet.
I'll mention it to the powers that be. Get some backing. Yeah. Make it a
backing,
Kickstarter.
Get backing for the big boys.
Get a Kickstarter and see if we can get some potato salad to go with it. We're all set.
Oh, yeah. $5,000 potato salad. The best potato salad in the world.
Add bacon.
By the way, people, if you're complaining that Kickstarter has a dude selling what is in effect a potato salad recipe, he asked for $10. He's currently up to about $7,000. That the vast majority of that is made up from ones and twos and fives. It's a laugh. It's a bit of a giggle.
Like I said, I'm quite happy to pay a dollar for a laugh. I don't mind.
Just a laugh.
He's back. Yeah. I'm going to have a laugh.
Exactly. So get over yourselves. Somebody sending a dollar to the potato salad man is not ripping that dollar out of a beggar's hand.
No.
That money was his laugh money.
That's it.
So, you know, honestly.
I did actually read a story about over there in Pommyland somewhere. Might have been in Scotland or somewhere. Somewhere over
same
there.
Same thing.
Somewhere in the Greater Britain. Or was it Europe? Jeez. Could have been Australia.
New Zealand.
It was in New Zealand. No, it was some government had started taxing the theatres by a whole lot. And so all the comedy clubs were, you know, comedy festivals were losing out big time because people couldn't afford to go anymore. So they implemented this thing where they stuck a camera in front of the seat, and you didn't pay anything. But if you laughed, then, you know, they'd charge you know, 20 cents per laugh. So basically, you want to have something that's funny, then you know, just pay what you reckon's funny.
I wonder how many tightwads were going.
Not gonna laugh.
It's not a bad idea.
Good plan.
I was going to say you should get paid by the clap, but that doesn't sound nice.
Nah, you don't get paid in the clap. No, that's a simple there you go. So I think we're done.
I think we're done.
In the bag.
Stick a fork in that one.
I'm going to sit down and, I was going to sit down and have some noodles because finally this week, thanks to Winnie for helping me out, finally did that stupid noodle cart quest line and got my noodles.
So we're going to have some real noodles then.
I might go and have some noodles. Have a laugh. Give someone a buck for some potato salad.
Yeah,
and think about episode 28 next week. Be cool.
Going out on a limb.
I feel free to renege on that.
Next week, the next week after this upcoming hiatus.
The next week after the next week that we record.
Yeah. We're not going to make promises that we can't keep.
No.
No.
Why not? That's what they'll do.
That's life.
That's life. Live with it.
Got anything wise from the song world to tell us about 27?
I do, actually. It's from a little band called Passenger that you may have heard of. Go and look them up. You know, a couple of decent songs. They've actually got a song called 27.
I've heard of Journey. Is that the same sort of thing?
Yes. They're actually, surprisingly, despite my tastes, not from the 80s. There you go.
Oh, okay.
But their little ditty goes along the lines of 27 years. 27 years now. Only thing I know that I don't know how to please everyone all of the time because everyone's always fucking changing their minds.
A little bit of a swear there.
You bleep that out.
I'm not editing. stop talking. And I'll say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to WoW Geekly. To contact us, email wowgeekly@gmail.com or send us a tweet at wowgeekly. Or abuse the host directly on @Asheo and @LJeppy. And of course, we'd love it if you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and love you even more if you leave a review. Upload complete.